In our scripture reading from the fourth chapter of Joshua, I think it's probably important to give some context before we read. The book of Joshua, in its totality, is about how that God brought his children into the promised land. For some of you, that may not make a lot of sense, but God, in the Old Testament, was revealed to us that he had a people. And those people were the children of Israel that had come from the seed of Abraham. And these people, the Israelites or the Jews, have a very interesting and colorful history. The Old Testament tells that story, and it's a good one. It's one that's worth taking the time to sit, read, and reflect upon. The children of Israel were slaves in the land of Egypt for a very long time, hundreds of years. And God, with a mighty hand, brought them out of Egypt's bondage. And you know, probably through Moses' leadership, they were brought out of Egypt and brought to a place where, because of their disobedience, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness or in the desert places. At the end of their 40 years of wandering, they were led out of the wilderness, and Moses was able to look upon the promised land, or the land that God had promised to Abraham hundreds of years before. Moses was able to look upon that land, but he wasn't able to enter it himself. He passed the mantle of the leadership of God's people to Joshua. And after Moses from Mount Nebo saw across to the promised land, he handed over the leadership to Joshua, and Moses passed away. He died. And Joshua was then the leader of God's people. And you could imagine the pressure that Joshua had. Would God be with Joshua the way that God was with Moses? That was on everybody's mind. And so whenever Joshua led the people from the wilderness to the south of Egypt, Mount Nebo is to the east of the Jordan River. God's promised land was to the west of the Jordan River. They approached the Jordan, and God performed a great miracle. Just the same way that God split the Red Sea for Moses, God split the Jordan River for Joshua. And as the priests bore the ark of God that symbolized the presence of God, and as they went upon the Jordan, their feet crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. It's a great event in the history of Israel as they entered into the land that was promised to their fathers. And what I'm going to read to you is right after they crossed. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man. And command ye them, saying, take you hence of the out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared for the children of Israel, out of every tribe, a man. And Joshua said to them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan. As the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood. And they are there to this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan, until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded to Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place, and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might hear the Lord, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. That's the fourth chapter of the book of Joshua. And what I just read there at the end will be our text for this morning. And I want to speak about memorial stones. And certainly what I read to you is awesome. I know some of you may have sit back and thought it was boring. But if you could get in your heart what happened, it was amazing. That the people of Israel, however many thousands there were, crossed across the Jordan River on dry ground. But this was even bigger than that. I think the Jordan River, I read that at its deepest point was about 17 feet. And so to get 17 feet of water divided wide enough for the people to pass through, and not only that they passed through, but they passed through on dry ground, was an amazing act of God. But this was bigger than that, in that it was God fulfilling his promise to a people that he had made many generations before. God had promised Abraham, when he had no children, that he would be the father of many nations, that he would have seed or children like the stars of the heavens, or like the sand of the seashore, that God was going to bless him with offspring. And he promised him a land. And in Abraham's life, he never saw God fulfill that promise. Now, the promise was still good. When God speaks something, he does not lie. But the promise had not been fulfilled, and it was still waiting on an answer. And these people in this generation, in this day, were able to see the fulfillment of God's promise. Again, they had to fight for it. But when they went across the Jordan on dry land, they knew they didn't go alone, because they knew that God was with them. And they knew that they entered into a land that was foreign to them, but was the home that God had prepared for them. And God performed a miracle. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and after 40 years of feeling in some ways forgotten by God, though he showed them every day that he was there, they were able to see something come to pass in real life that had felt like a story to them. God promised Abraham seed and land. You, as God's people, have an inheritance. But they had no home, and they had no land, and now they had no leader. Moses had died. And God, when they needed him the most, showed up in a mighty way. God performed a miracle, and he told us in his word why he performed it. And I love the way that God's word is so clear that God acted. And to us, it's like a story. But to them, they saw it with their own eyes. He performed this miracle, dividing the waters of the Jordan. Like I said, they were up to 17 feet in their deepest point. Stopped the waters from flowing to give them a dry place to cross. He said that he did it, first of all, to demonstrate that God's hand was upon Joshua. If you look at the third chapter, and the 17th verse, or the 7th verse, I'm sorry, says, "The Lord said to Joshua, 'This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan.'" So there, God was making a promise that just as he was with Moses, he was going to be with Joshua. And what a wonderful knowledge that was for Joshua to have, and for the people to have, that God was with their leader. Could you imagine the fear that the people had? Is God going to go with us? There were a lot of battles that were ahead for them, that they knew that the people weren't just going to give them the land. They were going to have to fight for it. And they were far inferior to the enemies, the armies that were in the land. The only way they were going to win that battle was that God would be with them and fight for them. And to some degree, all of us have felt this, where we've been up against situations where it's too great for us. The only way we succeed is if God is with us. And it's a great comfort for us to know, to sense, and to have a knowledge deep within us that God is with us. Even when it seems like the task ahead is improbable or impossible, if we know inside of our heart that God is with us, there's a comfort there. Because you know, God can do things that we can't do. And so when God split these waters, he was saying, this man Joshua, I am with him just like I was with Moses. And you know, when he leads you, that he's leading you in such a way that is led by me, you can trust him. Also, God parted the waters of the Jordan. In verse 24 of our reading this morning, it says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. That was why God did this miracle, that those that were onlooking from the outside could see that the hand of God is mighty. And I have to think, to some degree, that's why God performs miracles, is that whenever people can see the work of the Lord, the hand of God acting, and some event takes place that we know must be attributed to the hand of God, that we can see that the outside world looking on can see that the hand of God is mighty. That only God can do certain things, and you hear people talk about the work of the Lord, but sometimes we've been so fortunate to see the work of God in some situation, and we pause and we take a step back and we say, truly, the hand of God is mighty. Now, I might say to those of you that are on the outside, and there's some here today that maybe you know about God, but you don't know the Lord. Sometimes God will allow you to see a sign. He doesn't owe that to you. He doesn't owe us anything. But God sometimes will move in such a way that you'll be able to perceive and open up your eyes to such a degree that you'll be able to see that it was the hand of God. And it might even strike fear inside of your heart, because Satan likes to cast doubt on the reality of God. And so when you see God act, and you can't ascribe it to anything else but the hand of God, that it's mighty, it's a testimony to the reality of God. And all the time, people today are trying to explain away acts of God so that they can, you know, explain away miracles. But then sometimes God does something so great, so mighty, that it can't be explained away. The only thing that you can say about what happened is that was an act of God. And his hand is mighty. And the third reason the Bible says that he split the Jordan River was so that God's people, if you look at the end of 24, it says that ye, and the word ye in the King James means y'all in Ozarkian. It means not just you, but you all, that you all might fear the Lord your God forever. Who is you all? It's God's people. So the world might look upon what happened, and they might know that God has a mighty hand, and that God's people might see what happened, and that they might continue to fear the Lord forever. And so the purpose of miracles, to some degree, and I'm not saying this is exhaustive, but the purpose of miracles partly is to give God a testimony in the middle of a generation that does not believe in him, but also to strengthen the faith of God's people. That we as his people might see God work and say, he's an awesome God. I always knew he was. I put my trust in him. I serve him every day. But when I see his activity, it causes me to fear him. It causes me to be more believing and less doubting. And when I see God move, and I see it happen in real life, not just in the stories that I've heard from other people, but I see God move in such a way that I can say, not only, I already knew there was a God, I already knew that he had a mighty hand, but it causes me to trust him.
It causes me to fear him. It causes me to love him more because I see that he not only is, but is not silent, and he has not forgotten us. You see, even though God worked in the wilderness, these people had largely felt like they were, well, they were. They were going in circles. And when you're going in circles, you don't feel like there's any purpose. You're just going around and around and around. And does God have a plan for us? Does God have a purpose for us? Year after year, one generation passed on. Another generation rose up. And we've heard about what God did through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And this man Moses has been leading us in the wilderness all these years. But is this how life is going to always be? And God moved in such a way that he said, you're not just going into the promised land, I'm leading you into the promised land. And there's a difference in that. You're not just going there, I'm leading you there. You're not just going to go and fight some battles there. I'm going to go in front of you there. I'm going to be like sending the hornets ahead. He said, I'm going to be bringing about the victory for you. And if you'll just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, I'm going to work on your behalf. And the miracle, the parting the water, was less about the water and more about God speaking his word to a people that I want you to fear me, I want you to trust me, because I'm going out in front of you and you can trust me. Man. A God with a mighty hand that cares for you, that will do things on your behalf that you couldn't do for yourself. Man. And so that's why God did this. And so when God did it, God told Joshua, said, go and get some stones. I want you, and actually, the first part of this is as significant as the second part. He said, go and pick a man, one man, from every tribe. For every tribe, a man. Now, why was that important? He was bringing them back to their identity. They were raised up, you're my people, and there were 12 children of Israel, of Jacob. And so he was bringing them back to their identity, that he had not forgotten the promises he had made to their forefathers. He said, from each tribe, a man. And you know, Levi was of the priestly, and Joseph got a double tribe. But anyway, 12 men were to gather 12 stones, one stone per man, to show a picture that God was building a nation. You see what God is doing? He's leading his children along. But he said, go get a stone. And each one of them went from the place where the priest's foot was firmly fixed on the ground, and they picked up a stone and they carried it over the Jordan. And the purpose of the stones was to build a memorial. Because it's important to remember what God has done. And this is really where I want us to fix our attention. And I want us to think about that it's important for us to remember when things happen. When God moves. When God is creating history. It's important for us to remember the things of the past. Man. And God had always been about doing this among the children of Israel. I was reading back through several of the places where God had set up memorials. One of them was the Passover. Whenever God was delivering them from Egypt's bondage, and he sent at the last plague, he sent the death angel there to the people, and the death of the firstborn. That was a terrible thing. It was a horrible thing. There was a nation that cried out in their despair because of this plague. But if you'll recall, God gave his people a message. And the message God gave his people is, if you'll take one lamb and you'll slay that lamb and you'll take the blood of that lamb and you'll apply it to the doorposts of your door, the death angel will pass over you. You'll be protected from the harm that's coming, from the judgment that's coming. And the people of God all got and they sat in peace in their house. And the Bible says that if a stranger wants to come in and enjoy this meal tonight with you, they're allowed to come in. And when that death angel comes, every door it comes to, where the blood is there, I will pass over you. But they took a meal together, and that meal was called the Passover meal. And they ate it, the Bible says, with their staff in their hand and their shoes on their feet, ready to move, ready to be delivered. They were ready to go because God was going to deliver them the next day out of the hand of Pharaoh. And he told them when they had the meal, and it was to be the unleavened bread and the sacrifice. And they were there to eat that. And anything that was left over, they were to destroy. And they said, we want you to, or God said, I want you to do this meal perpetually, ongoingly. Have this meal together that you might remember how that God protected you from the plagues, about how that God delivered you with a mighty hand out of Egypt's bondage. And year by year, these people would eat the Passover meal and they would remember how that God with a mighty hand protected their family, how that God with a mighty hand led their nation out, how that God with a mighty hand took a small group of people and made them a mighty nation and led them out of Egypt's bondage. That they could remember that this took place in real life. That God was with them and protected them and provided for them. When they were in the wilderness, God gave manna from heaven, bread from heaven. And it was curious. How are they going to eat while they were in the wilderness? How are they going to make the journey? And for 40 years, they wandered in circles. And every single day, God provided them bread from heaven. Did you hear what I said? For 40 years, they were wandering in the wilderness, and every single day, God provided them bread from heaven. And on the sixth day, He gave them 2 days' worth so they could rest on the Sabbath. Week by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, God provided for them. They would have starved to death, but they didn't starve to death. It had all the nutrients they needed for their welfare. The Bible says their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes did not wear out. He said, take some manna and put it in a pot. And you keep that there as a memorial, that you might remember that every day that you were in the wilderness, God provided for you. The Passover meal was a memorial. The pot of manna that went in the ark was a memorial. That every time that somebody saw it, they would say, do you remember how? This isn't just fairy tales. The bread's in the pot. Don't you see? God, by a mighty hand, cared for His people day by day and week by week and year by year. And if He cared for them, then will He not also care for me now? Amen. Do you see that's why it's so important to remember? When Joshua, you know, the stones here, but also at the end, there was a, he set up another stone of memorial. He called the people and he told them, he said, we have to decide as a nation today who we're going to serve. If you're going to serve the gods of your fathers that they worshipped on the other side of the river, or if you're going to serve the living God, Jehovah, amen, you've got to make a decision today. Amen. I'm calling you to a decision today. Amen. He said, you know, you can choose if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then you go off and serve those false gods. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And they said, oh no, far be it from us to serve those false gods. We will serve the Lord. And Joshua said, I don't think so. I don't think your heart's in it. I don't think you're ready. I don't think you're committed. If you say you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have to serve Him all the way. And they said, we will serve God all the way. And he said, this stone has heard every word that you just said. And it became a stone of memorial. And they put an inscription on it. That way, every time someone would see that stone, they would remember that there was a day when all of God's people said, we will serve the Lord. And lastly, the Lord's Supper. Jesus got his disciples together just before he died, and he had a meal with them. And the meal was unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. And they may have had other things. I don't know when they ate there that night. But that was the part that he called out that was to be memorialized. The unleavened bread was a picture. It was a picture of his perfect body that had been given for our sins. And the fruit of the vine was a picture. It was a picture of the blood that he was going to shed on Calvary's cross. And he said for them to do this in remembrance of him until he returns. We're still doing that one today. Where God's people all gather around the table and we partake of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. And we do this in remembrance of him. It helps us to remember that Jesus, in real life, suffered and bled and died on Calvary's cross. He gave himself for us, for our sins. And because of what he did, we have eternal life. We must not forget that. Amen. We need to remember that. It's important. So he said, do it as often as you do it. Do it in remembrance of me. Yeah. It reminds us that Jesus died for us. And it reminds us that he's coming again. Amen. And so we know that Jesus hasn't forgotten us. It's a memorial. And so those are just some of the ways. There's more. But those are just some of the ways that God reminds us of a couple things. And this is how I want to close this morning. First of all, it's not good to live in the past. Right. But it is good to remember. Right. It's not good for us to live in the past. You know, we think about those things that have gone behind us. And it's not good for us to always be turned around and walking backwards and looking at those things and living in the days gone by. That's not good for us. Man. I heard somebody say recently, you know, when you're driving a car, you know, you've got this whole windshield in front of you, or you've got this little rearview mirror. And if you're always driving your car looking at the rearview mirror, it's dangerous. Right. And that's the case with life. You don't want to live in the past. Those days are gone. God has brought you through them. It's important for you to know that God knows your past. He knows all about you. He loves you anyway. If you've got sins in your past that need to be dealt with, deal with them. God will put them underneath the blood. He will forgive you. He will allow you to move on. So many people can't live today because they're living in the past. They can't get by it. And people will say, well, maybe time will heal it. Time won't heal it, but God and time can heal it. So if you go to God, you get it addressed with God. You get things underneath His forgiveness. You get things underneath His blessing. And then you move on. You can move on from the past. But there's so many people, they've just got guilt from the past just carrying with them. Get it underneath God's grace. If you get it underneath God's grace, you can move forward. But when you look backwards, it's important that we also don't count history as nothing. So many today are telling us it's important for us to erase the past.
Right.
I don't think that's good and healthy.
Yeah.
You know, now there's even so much push today to erase the past unless you find that the person that acted in the past was completely perfect. Yeah. If they ever had a flaw, you need to erase their memory. Think about that. There's nobody without flaw. And if we were to look back at flawed mankind and erase history of anyone that was flawed, there would be no history. Except for there was one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. But aside from him, you know, when we look back at history, even what's recorded in the Bible, it just tells it honestly. It just tells it accurately. And we see that some of those men did things that they were ashamed of. And that we would say doesn't reflect who God is. But isn't it wonderful that God worked in the lives of people that were imperfect to do things that were mighty and to do things that were glorious? God always has used through the past imperfect people to do mighty things. And you can say, look at their flaws. But you see, there's something great that happened that turns your view to God, and you see that He is holy and perfect. Don't forget the things that have happened in the past. It is good for us to remember and recall the things that God has done in the past and to reflect upon them. And sometimes it means we've got to write it down. It means we've got to have a memorial. We've got to have something in place. Whether it's a monument or whether it's something that we write that reminds us of something that God did, may we do our part to remember the things that God has done, for God has worked with a mighty hand in our life. God has done things that when we go back and recount those things, we hope we never forget, because they tell of the glory and the mighty hand of God in our past. May we be always remembering how that God has not just done them as a part of our imagination, but He stepped down here into our life and worked mighty things. Has He not? Do you not have things in your life where you've looked back and thought, that was a mighty thing that God did? Remember those things. Man. Those can be a help to you. Man. They can be a strength to you. It's not good for us to forget about all the things that have gone on behind. We don't want to live in the past, but we need to remember. But we need to remember. I'm right now resisting the urge to tell some stories. But I've got some stories about how that God has moved and God has been mighty indeed. And He has shown Himself to be powerful and glorious. And no one can explain the things that happen except by the mighty hand of God. Amen. I should tell those stories. Yeah. Not right now. But I should tell them. And so should you. Amen. I love that Byron said that Turner's got a little mark. That was good. See, that was a good illustration. And he already told it, so I don't have to tell it. But it reminds us that God is merciful, that God is powerful, amen, and that God is with us. Amen. May we never forget. May we never forget. Amen. And when we think about those, we think about Memorial Day, we think about those that have given their life for our country and the battles that they fought, and the conflicts that we were involved in, whether we 100% agree with all of them or not, it's our story. And we can see how God was with us during those times. Amen. May we never forget. Amen. And the last thing, we have a God-given responsibility to share the activity of God in our life with the next generation. Amen. There's a lot of little ones running around this place. And our crowd's pretty sparse this morning. A lot of people gone. There's still a lot of little ones running around. They need to see God work. Amen. And they need to hear about the times in the past when God worked. Amen. It creates a longing in their little hearts to look for when God is working in their life.
I'm not one of these that says, oh, back in the day, God used to do mighty things. I've seen God do mighty things in my life. I have. If I told some of these stories that I'm resisting the urge to share, you'd say, God did that. Some of you were here for a lot of these stories, but wow. Isn't that amazing what God does?
Amen.
And my little kiddos need to hear about those. They need to see those things for themselves, but they need to hear about those things from their mom and dad and their grandpa and their grandma. They would say, what is this all about? You know, I saw such and such a thing, and what is this all about? And that way you can tell them about the Lord. Oh, that reminds me of a time when God, with a mighty hand, delivered us. Our backs were up against the Red Sea. Our backs were up against the Jordan River. We had enemies in front of us and a wilderness behind us, and we didn't know what we were going to do. Our Moses had just died. These stones, God came on the scene. It was glorious. And Joshua said, every tribe a man, every man a stone. And you're going to build this up. That way when your kiddos later on say, what's with the stones? What's with this? You can tell them about how that God with a mighty hand delivered us from the wilderness and brought us into the land of promise. He didn't forget us then. He's not going to forget us now. God was with us on our journey back then. God will be with us today. Memorial stones. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. It really is. And over the years, we get some stories. Stories of God's activity. Stories of God's power. Stories of God's grace. Let's not keep those to ourselves. Let's share those with other people. Amen. Why don't we have a song, Sister Guyana? Appreciate your all's attention this morning. Appreciate the privilege of being here today. What it means to us as we stand and sing, let's just try to worship the Lord in song.